shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
You're smoking crack!
We've got a packed show for you today. It's all coming up on World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. You got to make go-to Lordco your go-to auto parts store since 1974. Lordco has been a trusted supplier of quality aftermarket auto parts and accessories. Shop owners, automotive professionals, and do-it-yourself vehicle owners know it's the place to go for fast, knowledgeable service. Check out their new location on Calgary Trail Northwest. They got a truck center, high-performance products, everything you need. The doors are open 7 days a week. View store hours and services at lordco.com. World Hockey Report, Cody Jansen with you. And it's a Wednesday edition. We're one day away from pre-tournament hockey. You got USA Finland tomorrow in Edmonton, and you've got Canada or Russia. I think I'll be there. Just a little sneak peek ahead. I don't have the gloves. I'll show you the gloves at the end. We're doing a giveaway. Lordco hooked us up with some great gloves. We'll be giving those all to you on the show. Of course, if you're a loyal listener of World Hockey Report, you know prizes come your way around World Junior time. That's what we're going to do. Hey, on the show today, we got former voice of the World Juniors on the NHL Network, Steve Mears. He's going to hop on Pittsburgh Penguins play-by-play voice right now on TV for AT&T Sports Network, Pittsburgh, also NHL MLB Network. You know him, you love him. He's got a great call. He's been a part of some memorable tournaments. We're going to pick his brain. 2013 to 2017. He was calling games at the World Juniors then. Two-time gold medalist, Team Canada's captain at the 2008 World Juniors. Carl Alsner's going to join the show. You see him, he's on TV now. He played over 750 games, or I think 750 actually on the dot in the NHL. Two World Juniors, some memorable World Juniors as well. 2007, 2008, that was in Canada's heydays. And Carl was a captain of the team in 2008. So we'll talk to him. We'll get some funny stories, I'm sure. Maybe see if he's got some advice for the captains. Caden Gooley's actually the captain. He's a Sherwood Park kid. So maybe we'll see if he's got some advice there. You know, catch up with him. Talk about the tournament. See how all that goes. And maybe we'll wrap it up with a little contest at the end. You know how to contact us at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. I'm there at Janner31 underscore. Of course, use promo code THPN if you're going to DraftKings. And we're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta today. Yeah, we got the social media handles. And of course, if you're looking for more international hockey, go to sportstraveltours.com. They're sending you to Finland. Helsinki, it's beautiful. That's where the 2022 World Championships are there. And the great people at Sports Travel Tours want you to experience it as well. I'm telling you, Sports Travel Tours, they're going to take care of you, and they're going to get you out to a great tournament because there's going to be NHLers there. There's no NHLers at the Olympics. The World Championships has all of that. Sports Travel Tours, they're going to hook you up. Looks like the phone lines are going off. Maybe we'll head off to a commercial break right now. Let's connect with Steve Mears when we come back. Cody Jansen, World Hockey Airport. We are presented by Lordco Auto Parts. It's World Junior season, and this is the road to the World Juniors. Edmonton, Red Deer, 2022. More World Junior talk coming up next. Cody Jansen, World Hockey Airport.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back World Championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official World Championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, and official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot goes past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. The NHL got rid of ties in 2005, so you know someone's going to light the lamp. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Book for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, just go back.
It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you, getting you set for the World Juniors, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, your go-to shop for auto parts. Doesn't matter if you're a store owner or a do-it-yourselfer. Join now the voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Steve Mears. Also, he's called a bunch of World Junior games from 2013 to 2017. He joins us on the Quackstats hotline right now. And Steve, I want to start off because I was doing some research, and you actually started doing some play-by-play in the Central Hockey League, is that correct? You got to have a crazy story for me.
Oh, yeah. The old Central Hockey League, which doesn't exist anymore, but I'm so fond of that level of hockey and that market in particular in Shreveport, Louisiana, where a lot of people wouldn't think that there are a lot of hockey fans who are passionate and knowledgeable, but they are there and they love the game. And it's the North American Hockey League team now, a junior team. But I just had such a wonderful time there. Talk about a perfect landing spot for your first job out of college. And I packed up my car and didn't know what I was getting into. And it turned out to be the best 4 years of my life. And I still have so many friends, lifelong friends, who were either players or people on the office staff or close contacts with the league. In fact, one of the commissioner of that league was Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. So it was phenomenal. And yeah, lots of stories. And the thing that always comes to mind is that people, when they think of minor league hockey, and they think of like Slapshot, but they usually reserve that for like, that was the 70s era and stuff like, you know, the crazy stories and the brawls and all that, and the sideshow that could be minor league hockey. But even in my time, which was the mid 2000s, there was an aspect of that where you had some tough customers with 300 plus penalty minutes. You had some crazy promotions. You had crazy stories of bus trips over 20 hours. And we could just go on and on, but it was truly a memorable 4 years. That stuff, that Slapshot stuff, there is an element to that, or at least there was 20 years ago. I don't know about now, but 20 years ago, there was a little bit of Slapshot to the life that I was living in minor league hockey.
Oh, I mean, some of the toughest players ever to play the game have gone through there. I know we've got some great stories from like Todd Screwy St. Louis. Darren Kimball was down there for a little bit. It's just, it's awesome hockey, and to throw it back with some classic stuff. That's an awesome place to get your start. Now you're in Pittsburgh calling NHL games, of course, but it's World Junior season, and that's what you're here for. Steve Mears, my guest on World Hockey Report. I want to throw it back to your first tournament, 2013. It's in Russia. Did you call that from a studio, or did you go there?
We were in a studio. Anytime the World Juniors were overseas, we were in a master control studio doing it off a monitor, and little did I know that that would be a nice warm-up and prelude to this current life that we're living. With the pandemic and doing road games off of monitors, which we're still doing, unfortunately, with the Penguins. So that actually got me ready for this current environment in which we're in. But that was a truly memorable team in so many ways. You look at some of the names that were on that roster, from John Gibson to Johnny Gaudreau to JT Miller and Seth Jones and Jacob Trouba. And we look back now, it's like an NHL all-star team. So you wonder, and I know the competition was stiff that year with other teams, but it's really no wonder why the team was able to have success and win that gold medal as they beat Sweden in the gold medal game. But it is cool to be able to say that you saw these current NHL guys back when, and that team is a perfect example. Almost every guy from that team has had some amount of time in the National Hockey League.
Were you a big fan of the World Juniors beforehand? Like, I'm not sure, I guess, kind of your exposure level to the tournament before you started calling games. Like, was this something you were glued into during the holidays every year, or no?
No, I wouldn't say big fan, because most of the time I was, when I was growing up, I was following the Penguins, and the Penguins were playing at that time. So, and following the NHL in general. So I don't think it's as big of a deal. It has gotten to be a bigger deal, especially with the emergence of the United States as a powerhouse. But when I was growing up in the 90s, that wasn't the case for Team USA. Certainly doesn't have the rich history that it does in Canada, where it's always been a big story, big deal, big event. In the United States, not so much, at least not when I was a kid. But I'm glad that that's changed now. And the reason it's changed is because hockey has grown in this country. Elite players have emerged in other areas, not just Michigan and Minnesota and Massachusetts, but being a Seth Jones who was born in Texas, or a Shane Gostisbehere who was from Florida, or the Pittsburgh kids who are on that 2013 team, like JT Miller and John Gibson and Vincent Trocheck and Riley Barber, all from the Pittsburgh area. So we had that connection too, with me being a Pittsburgh native. So I think with the emergence of Team USA as a true contender, and with the gold medals that they've won here recently in 2013, 2017, that's why I think it's become a bigger deal. And also the exposure with with it being televised on NHL Network. And so it's much different than when I was younger. So I can't say I was a big fan. I didn't follow it all that closely, just being in the United States. But I certainly do now, even though I'm not doing the games anymore. I rarely miss a World Junior broadcast if it involves Team USA or one of the big powerhouse teams, as long as the Penguins aren't playing.
I can hear the smile in your talking when you talk about those American teams. So how special was it for you then in 2013 when you get to call the Americans winning a gold medal? Like, is that something, do you consider that one of your, you know, coolest games you've ever called? Obviously, outside of the NHL, I'd assume that's got to be up there. But that's just a pretty cool experience that not many people get to go through.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And the circumstances surrounding it were very unique. That was the time of the NHL lockout. They only played half a season. So at the time, there was no NHL hockey going on. So that was a big deal. And it was a big deal for me because I was young. I hadn't done much television play-by-play up until that point. And it was big for my career. I knew there'd be a lot of eyeballs on those games. And I had a dream of wanting to be a TV play-by-play broadcaster in the NHL. Getting back into doing play-by-play, I'd been doing radio several years prior with the Islanders, but I wanted to get back into it, and that was a springboard. And I knew that it was going to be a good opportunity for people to see and hear what I could do. So, yeah, it was big, but the circumstances were unique for a couple of different reasons. One, with the lockout going on, so the whole hockey world was tuned in. And the other one that always stands out is that we were doing it from a studio in Denver, Colorado, and the games were being played in Ufa, Russia. So you can imagine the time difference. I don't even remember what the time was for the gold medal game, but I distinctly remember waking up at like 3 or 4 in the morning to do a game that might have started at 6 a.m. or something. I'm not a morning person, but that's the thing that will always stand out about how bizarre it was to be completely flipped upside down and doing a game and then walking out of the building and seeing the sun rising and then prepping for the next game all the way up until maybe dinner time and then trying to get a few hours of sleep and then waking up at the oddest of hours. So that bizarre time change and the fact that it was being played in Ufa, Russia with such a drastic time difference, that's the one thing that really jumps out when I think back.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing that I think most people wouldn't actually think about when you're talking about from a remote setup. Now, the other tournament I got to ask you about, 2015, being a Canadian, being up here by Edmonton, Connor McDavid. Canada beats Russia 5-4 in the gold medal game. I remember the atmosphere at the ACC. It was incredible. We've had Zach Fucali on. He's a friend of the show. Walk me through what you remember from that 2015 tournament, because that was also another great lineup when you look at Canada's roster.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And if I remember correctly, Connor McDavid wasn't as prominent a player as you might think he would have been. And when we look back, and I'm sure he had a great tournament. I'm sure the stats will speak to that. But when I remember the games that year against Canada, it was Domi, Duclair, Reinhardt, among others,
yep,
who were actually bigger names in that tournament, or at least were older and had a little bit more of a prominent role on that team specifically. But yeah, it was a fantastic Team Canada. And another thing about Team USA is that American team should have done much better. When we look back on that American team, we're going to be like, wow, how did this team not go very far at all? Didn't even get to the second day or the second stage and getting a chance to play in Toronto. They were in Montreal. They lost, I think, in the quarters or the semis, and they were done.
Didn't they lose to Slovakia with Dennis Godla?
No, but I remember him. That was another one. That's a great point. I remember him. That's one of the great goaltending underdog stories in World Junior history with him. But Team USA lost, I think, in the quarters to Russia. They took a lot of bad penalties. And, you know, these are young players, so the momentum swings are more drastic than they are in the NHL. And if they lose discipline and make some disciplinary mistakes, then everything's going to get called in international hockey, and these teams are good, and they'll capitalize. But we'll look back on that USA team of 2015 and think, how did this team with a young Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, Dylan Larkin, and company, how did they not go further? But that's kind of the beauty of the tournament. It's unpredictable, and you're looking at teams and players coming in at different stages of their development. Now, Austin Matthews is incredibly young, and then you had Jack Eichel, who's on the verge of playing in the NHL, getting closer to making that next step in his career. So that team, I remember being stacked, and it should have been way better.
Bang on. Steve Mears, my guest here. I got two more for you. 2017, you've already referenced it a couple of times. I'm assuming you were in Montreal for that one. The Bell Center was packed to the brim, and it goes to a shootout. I know Canadians hate the shootout because you lose, you like it if you win. But what a game. I mean, the back and forth in that one, and just the unpredictable, you know, ending. No one expects a gold medal game to go to a shootout. I want to walk me through what you remember from that one.
Oh, that I was just telling somebody, that is probably the greatest sports event I've ever seen live. I really believe that. And I've been lucky here in Pittsburgh. We've had so many great sports moments. Some I've been a fan for, others I've watched on TV, and whether it's the Steelers Super Bowls or the Penguins 5 Stanley Cups, I was lucky enough to call two of them. But that game to me was the best sporting event I've ever been at in person, because it had all the elements. Everything came together. It's at the Bell Center of all buildings, my favorite in the league. Yeah, the place is packed. It's Canada, and it's the World Juniors, and it's a big deal in Canada. And it's Team USA. They're becoming a big deal, and they're going up against their biggest rival here. So it's the U.S.-Canada. You had that dynamic. You had so many talented, tremendous players. The game was on prime time on a Thursday night on NHL Network. And I knew the entire hockey world would be watching there. Unlike the previous gold medal game I did, which was like at 6 a.m., this was prime time on a Thursday night. And I think it's still the most watched thing ever on NHL Network in the United States. So it was so dramatic. And then the way the game unfolded, the multi-goal lead changes, the fact that Team USA had to kill off a too many men on the ice penalty in overtime, and they played a whole overtime period, and it was thrilling. And then both teams were inches away from winning it. So it had all the drama that you want in sports. It's just the best reality TV. And then for Team USA to win in a shootout, yeah, I mean, I would rather have them play like they do in the Stanley Cup playoffs and just keep on going. But there is something cool about the shootout and international hockey and that connection with those two. And we think back to Peter Forsberg and TJ Oshie and And just the fact that we had a five-round shootout and Tyler Parsons made the final save and Team USA was able to emerge victorious. And I was just talking about this recently because we had a game against the Anaheim Ducks and Troy Terry's off this great start. And he was like a hockey household name back then because he was the shootout master. He did the TJ Oshie basically, went 3-for-3 against Russia, against Ilya Samsonov. And then he scores a clutch goal in the shootout against Team Canada. So I'll always have that fondness for Troy Terry. And anytime I see him, hopefully he has a long career in the National Hockey League. But anytime I hear that name, I'm always going to be drawn right back to that night in 2017 at the Bell Center. And anytime I go to the Bell Center, that's immediately what I think of. I've done plenty of games there with both the Islanders and the Penguins. But nothing will ever compare to the drama of that gold medal game in 2017. I just can only hope that we get another showdown like that, whether it's Team USA, Team Canada, or whomever's involved. I just think that was hockey at its finest right there. And the reason why we love sports, because that type of drama, that type of unpredictability is what makes sports great.
Well, Steve, these stories have been incredible, and we could talk to you for hours. I got to ask you, the one player on Team USA this year that you would have a finger on the pulse, and that's one of the youngest players. It's an 04, Logan Cooley from Pittsburgh. What should people expect to see from him? We'll leave it there.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this kid. And we've been talking about him for quite a while here in Pittsburgh because he's been in the mix with Team USA and USA Hockey's National Team Development Program. And anytime there's a Pittsburgh kid who's graduating through some of those higher ranks in the hockey world, we always zero in because we take a lot of pride in the growth of the game here in this community. And he is the kid who is kind of the next generation. I mentioned some of the earlier ones from the 2013 American team, JT Miller, Riley Barber, Vincent Trocheck, John Gibson. The year before, they had Brandon Staud, who we kind of lumped together with that core group of Pittsburgh natives who graduated and went on to play in the National Hockey League, and some of them are having phenomenal careers. So now to see a new group of kids from Western Pennsylvania either playing D1 college hockey, getting to the minor pro level, or now in the case of Logan Cooley, who's maybe playing at the World Juniors and maybe someday playing in the National Hockey League, it's really cool. But I think with Logan in particular, it's unique because he's an alum of Pittsburgh Penguins Elite, which is the high-level youth hockey program here in Pittsburgh. And he began playing hockey with Sidney Crosby's Little Penguins Learn to Play Hockey program in 2008 and 2009. So That's one thing that Sid has been able to do here in Western PA, just getting kids involved in playing hockey, providing the equipment, which we know is an obstacle for a lot of kids, myself included, because the equipment can be expensive and you have to get a lot of stuff and you don't know what to get and it can be complicated. So Sidney Crosby now for well over a decade has been providing innumerable amount of kids with full hockey gear, boys and girls, and doing that through Dick's Sporting Goods. So to see a kid grow up and now playing at a high level, and the reason he started playing was because of that program, I mean, it's remarkable. And think of all the lives that have been touched from that program alone, even for kids who don't get to that level. Just the fact that they start playing hockey and they might play for the rest of their lives in a beer league or just get out every so often to the local rink and get some exercise in. It's a phenomenal thing that Sidney Crosby's done here in Pittsburgh, and we're seeing the fruits of that now with some kids who started playing hockey there and eventually now getting to a high level. So I'm interested to see with Logan Cooley where he ranks as far as the depth chart with Team USA. Some have said second line center, but he's definitely a player that a lot of people here in Western Pennsylvania are going to have their eye on.
Steve, that's unreal. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate you diving into some of those stories. Have a great Christmas. Have a great second half of the season. Look forward to hearing you some more Colin Penn's games in the future. Hopefully you can check out a couple of the World Junior games as well. But once again, thanks for hopping on World Hockey Report here today.
My pleasure. Great to talk with you. Great to talk hockey, and enjoy the World Juniors.
We'll be right back.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NHL has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot goes past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. The NHL got rid of ties in 2005, so you know someone's going to light the lamp. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Cody Jansen with you here. Second half of the show brought to you by Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, the absolute best. A Canadian company, they are keeping you on the ice at the best affordable price. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, go check them out today. We would now welcome on our friend. He's down in D.C. right now. It's Carl Alsner joining the show. Two-time World Junior Champion, gold medalist, played in some elite tournaments, to say the absolute least. So we're happy to have him on the show. And I want to start 07, the Jonathan Toews. That's the first story that comes to mind. That's what I think about when I think of 2007. You probably had the best seat in the house, Carl, to watch it. I want, you know, what do you remember from that semifinal game against the Americans?
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever somebody asks me about that tournament and I'm trying to describe it, the first thing that I say is, yeah, you remember that year that Jonathan Toews had that sick shootout and Carey Price was standing on his head in that. It was funny. It was a weird tournament for me personally. The whole thing was just crazy because I'll give you the whole cold notes of how it went down. So I was the only 18-year-old defenseman on that team, and it was me, Brad Marchand, who made it as an 18-year-old, and Leland Irving was also 18, and then Sam Gagne was actually 17, who made that team. And so we were kind of the four young guys, and we went over there and played a couple exhibition games, and we played one in Finland against obviously the Finns. And Tuukka Rask was their goalie, and he was just a huge story in that tournament. And in that game, I had a goal and assist. And I guess I put up points a little bit in junior, but I was still kind of surprised that had happened. And then I think the next game was against Sweden, in Sweden, still exhibition. And I scored like my first or second shift in that game too. I'm like, holy smokes, like I'm going to just destroy this tournament. This tournament's built for me, I guess. And then that next period, I actually put one into my own net, like off of a face-off. There was a bit of, like, the puck came to me, it was a battle, and I won the battle and was trying to shoot it back towards, you know, like a D-to-D to my partner, and it went straight in. Irv wasn't ready for it, went right in 5-4 on our own net. And I'm like, oh, man, that's brutal. And then the next period, a guy was coming down the wall, and he went to take a slap shot and actually tipped it top corner in our own net again. So I scored two goals in two games, 4 and 2 again. And I think that kind of is a little bit, it was weird. I think my position on the team, I went from maybe being, you know, one of the fifth or sixth defensemen to them just kind of pumping the brakes a little bit on me. And then I didn't play a ton in the U.S. game in the round robin. And then in that, actually in that semifinal game is when I started, for whatever reason, they thought they'd play me a little bit more. And so that was the most that I had played in the tournament up until like throughout the whole round robin and everything. So I remember the game pretty clearly, and then thinking that the U.S. was, you know, besides us, I guess, the top team in the tournament. They were just stacked. They had so many good players, and they're playing really hard, playing really good hockey. And I remember just thinking, I don't think I'd ever been that nervous for anything in my entire life up until that point. And it was just wild, I guess, the way it all happened. And it was a good story. It's a good story still to tell people about.
What a roller coaster of a pre-tournament, though. What were you guys seeing on the bench, though, when Taves is going again? Like, you know, the coach keeps going back to him. Like, are guys saying anything? Is everyone just kind of, like, shutting up and looking at each other, being like, don't say a word. We can't mess this up. I want to know the vibe out there.
Yeah, so as most hockey players are, pretty darn superstitious, right? We would always... So if he scored, we would all stay in the exact same spot. But if they scored, then we would all be shuffling around. I remember Kendall McArdle. I feel bad for him. I don't think he played a shift in the entire game, but he was on the bench, fully dressed and everything. And I remember me and him were kind of laughing. We'd switch it every single time, and the rest of the decor, we were all just shuffling around. We had to put our arms around each other or not, or lean against the bench or stand straight up. It was just nonstop movement because we were all so nervous about what we thought we were making it. Our contribution to that shootout was being as superstitious as possible. And so it was more just that than actual talk, because no one really knew what to say. It was kind of uncharted for all of us, but it was, you know, just like weird confidence when Taser would go up there to shoot again. It's one of the things that I've always, like, I still think about it to this day when I'm out shooting on goalies or whatever. He's got such a weird release with his wrist shot. And I remember just thinking that as soon as I could see him cock that puck back, because he almost brings the puck back, like, past his leg, a little bit further than most guys. And then he swings it all the way across body to go top corner, usually glove side on the goalie. And I remember just thinking, like, things seem to happen in slow motion, but I would see him going, cock that puck back and think, oh yeah, this is going top corner. I just felt a weird confidence in him. So it was just a all around cool moment, and not a whole lot of talk going on the bench, but just a lot of movement from guys going back and forth.
That's unreal. And yeah, Carey Price, I think he was MVP of the tournament, was he not?
He may have been, and if so, I mean, he definitely deserved it. He was like the guy, just so calm and so good, just a brick wall. He was good. Everyone knew he was good, but I think it was also a major coming out party for him too. Just everybody realizing how good he was, because you got to think, like, obviously you need to have some confidence as the shooter, but to be the goalie in a shootout and in a shootout of that magnitude, like, I don't know how he did it, but if there was anybody in the world that I would choose, it would be him, because playing with him in that tournament and then getting to play with him in the NHL, he is super calm. So he was a good guy to have on our team.
Just a kid from Anaheim Lake, BC. Hey, that final win, though, against the Russians, you guys beat them 4-2. I do want to know about the celebration after. Those are the best stories. But also, like, for you growing up, was there a little bit of hatred against the Russians? Like, just that natural rivalry that there, you know, always seems to be as a Canadian growing up in the hockey world. Like, the Americans, that's obviously a rivalry, but, like, Russia seems to be next level. At least when, you know, I was growing up, too, it seemed to be like, okay, anytime it's Canada-Russia, the stakes always seemed a little bit higher, even though it wasn't 1972.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to say for me personally which one I guess is above the other, because I honestly don't know that I could choose one over the other. And in that tournament, so we hadn't seen Russia at all because they were on the other side, and we had got to play the U.S. twice, and I knew how good they were, and so I was expecting, you know, that level at least playing Russia. And I'm not sure if it was just one of those things where we took it to another level, but the game itself, it didn't feel close at all. Like, it was so strange. Like, we, I felt like we controlled that game from start to finish, and it was just one of those things where we knew we weren't going to lose, and it was an amazing feeling because we went from being on the brink of elimination the game before to having a feeling of just like almost supreme confidence that we were going to win. And so I never really got that battle to the end against Russia, you know, in the corners. Everything just kind of felt like it happened the way it was supposed to happen. So, it was really cool to win and to be, like I said, with the semifinal, I started playing a lot more, and then the final, same thing, started playing even more. So it was weird, you know. You think it'd almost be the other way around, where you'd start the tournament playing and then you'd kind of back off as the medal rounds came along. But it was the opposite for me, where I got to play more in the end. I actually still remember the conversation I had with our assistant coach. His name's escaping me right now, but he was the head coach in Regina. And he came to me before the first game of the tournament, I believe, and he just said, "Hey, I think we're going to go with these partners. I'm going to try and mix you in a little bit, and hopefully you'll get some good minutes at some point. But I just don't know for sure." And I remember saying, like, "Hey, like, I'm here for this team to win. Like, I don't care if I don't play a single shift in this tournament. I'm just happy to be here, and I'll be ready as soon as you need me." And I don't know if it was one of those things where he wanted to test that out as the tournament went on, but it worked out in my favor in the end. But so a little bit long-winded, but I remember in the finals, Chris Russell was on that team, defenseman playing in Edmonton right now. I'm sure you know. And he, I think, set the record or tied the record for most goals by defensemen in the World Junior Tournament in that year. And so I got a good opportunity to play with him, and it's just so cool to see how good he was out there. And it's so funny because he's known as a stay-at-home defenseman now that blocks everything, and he was the complete opposite in junior hockey. And so I ended up getting to play with him a bunch and learning a ton from him. And yeah, we get to the end and just, I don't know, just mayhem. Just so happy. We were celebrating like crazy on the ice. And the unfortunate thing is those tournaments, you don't really get to spend a lot of time after because you got to get the heck out of there so fast. And so guys go in all different directions. But luckily for a good chunk of us, we were in the flight that was leaving the next morning. So we got to stay in our hotel and party a little bit longer than some of the guys did, who had to get on a bus almost immediately after and start heading towards the airport. So, you know, sometimes celebrations can be a little bittersweet when you're playing overseas.
That's brutal that they're going to chuck guys on flights that next morning. We've heard from a few guys who have won more recently, and Hockey Canada seems to be getting a little bit better at that with, maybe give them evening flights the next day. Let them get at least an hour or two of sleep in if they do happen to win the tournament. But, Kate, moving along to 2008, and I know you kind of say it a little tongue-in-cheek of like, hey, you know, I don't know what they were expecting, not playing me much and then getting it better. It's like, well, I mean, they did have plans for you. Obviously, you captained the team in 08. You go on to play 750 games in the show. But I want to go back to that 2008 tournament, because in that semifinal game, I remember it perfectly, of the whole pregame show being like, oh, Americans are out for revenge. Americans are out for revenge. And you guys went and smacked them, right, in that semifinals?
Yeah, we did. We played one of our best games of the tournament, I think. And that team was loaded full of talent. And it was one of those games where everybody seemed to come to play. And I think I even scored in that game. You know, when I'm scoring in these games, then you know the team must be going. So it was just one of those things where we didn't give them an inch. I can't remember the score, 4-1 or 5-1 or something like that. And it just kind of everything went right for us. And that was, they were good in that tournament, but I think the team that we were really, I guess, really focusing on was Sweden. And actually the Czech team had a lot of talk around them too. And the tournament was in the Czech as well. So they had that extra energy on their side. But yeah, that was, you know, we played good against that team, and it was extremely nice to beat them and knock them out in the semis.
Now, as cool as the Tave shootout is, the Halaschuk overtime winner. Like, walk me through where you were on that play. Like, were you on the ice? Were you on the bench? What do you remember from it? Like, it was just a gong show.
Yeah, it was. Okay, so let's back up even further. And so Team Canada hadn't lost a game in the tournament in, I believe, 4 years leading up to that. And so we played, I think it was, I don't know if it was the first game or the second game of the tournament, we played Sweden. And we were up 2-0 on them in the third period. We were rolling, feeling pretty good. And they ended up scoring with, I can't remember the exact time. They scored with not much time left to make it 2-1. And then they scored in like the last minute to tie it up 2-2. And we were thinking like, what the heck is going on? Like, you know, we're not supposed to lose games in this tournament. We're supposed to just roll through everybody. It was one of those, it just didn't, like something was wrong, you know, it didn't seem right. And then they go ahead and beat us in overtime in the round robin. And we're just like, what the heck happened? You know, it was, that's not supposed to happen to us. And so I think we went back to the hotel and we were just a little bit shocked and in awe. And you know, social media wasn't quite like it is now. So we didn't hear too much stuff, but we definitely heard enough chatter from back home of people saying like this team isn't it's not the right team, they've got a lot of skill, but they're not built right to win, yada yada yada. And I think that was kind of like it hit us pretty hard and maybe snapped us out of it a little bit. And so what happens, we make our way back to the finals against Team Sweden and we're up 2-0 in the third period and they find a way to tie it with seconds left. And we're like, there's no chance this is happening again. Like, it just can't happen, but it was deja vu. And so we went into the room and it was one of those rah-rah moments where I think we all were just like, you know, enough is enough. It's not happening again. We got the guys in here to do it. We came out buzzing and I was on the bench when that goal went in, and it was just like a, you know, like a major, major sigh of relief. Cause I, you know, me being the captain, I didn't want to be the captain of the team that, you know, broke the streak of whatever it was, four medals in a row, four championships in a row. And so that going in, it was just, it was just kind of like, let everything go, major sigh of relief, go and celebrate, enjoy that. And yeah, it was a very, very fun time.
How good was Steve Mason in that final game too? Because I remember he stood on his head and made a couple of stupid stops.
Yeah, he was insane. And so the cool thing was is Jonathan Bernier, I think, came into the tournament as our guy, and then we lost that game, and then Mace just took over after that. And what was cool to see is up until that point, I don't think I'd ever seen a goalie play the puck as good as he did. And he was out there, you know, doing everything for us. He's like another defenseman. He was just a wall. I don't think we let many goals in that tournament. And he was, you know, they both were great, but he was definitely something else. And, you know, similar to having Carey, you just felt, you know, just supreme confidence in the goalie. It just changes the way that you play the game. And you know that you have, when you have something like that backstopping you. So yeah, it was cool. There's a lot of guys that played really good. And a name that people probably don't even remember is Stefan Legion. Like a guy like that, he was so good in the tournament. He ended up separating his shoulder before the finals or during the finals or something like that. Didn't end up getting to finish. And you know, it's just so many players that were like the kind of the unsung heroes of that tournament that find a way to step up and play phenomenal. It was a bit of a coming out party, I think, for Drew Doughty as well in that tournament. So yeah, when you go back and look at the roster, like there was some crazy talent on that team. It was pretty cool.
Okay, so what did you guys do after? Like, there's no way you're in Czech Republic. It's got the best beer in the world. Like, there's no way you guys didn't at least spend one night having some fun.
It's you know what? It's the same kind of story. It's so unfortunate that the guys kind of you break up so fast to get out of there, because you have to head back, and you know we get a little bit of time. You get some hours to you know, and it's Europe, so legal drinking age is is different 12. Than, you know, say if you're in the U.S., I guess, but it's 12, which is pretty much as soon as you can put a full sentence together, and you can start going at it. And so we definitely got our hands on some stuff, and we had a chance to relax and tell some stories, and that was good. Actually, you know what's funny? I'm just thinking about this now, going back to the year before. It was really funny because, so we were in Sweden, and I know this is off topic a little bit, but I had a buddy who was playing on the Swedish team, and he gave me this actually did happen that year we were in Czech, because he was on the Swedish team that year, and he gave me these underwear that these Swedish guys would always wear called Bjornborg underwear, and it was like, I guess it was trendy or something like that, and I played with two Swedish guys on a team, and they had this stuff, and they're like, yeah, these are what everybody's wearing in Europe. This is the new trend. And I'm like, okay, well, buy me a pack of those when we're in Sweden, and I'll take them back and I'll start rocking them. And so he gave me a pair of these, and I remember after the finals, I had these things on, and I broke out in hives, and I had these crazy hives, and I didn't think anything of it. I just thought it was some sort of detergent and you know, whatever. And so the doctor was saying, he's like, yeah, you gotta, you know, whatever clothes you got on, just take those off, put some fresh ones on, and we'll see if it goes away. So I remember taking my clothes off, and I'm like, okay, I'll get a brand new pair of underwear, throw those on, and new clothes, and we get to the airport, and still just breaking out in these crazy hives after this tournament. And I'm like thinking to myself, what could it be? Like, I just don't understand. Was it a couple beers that I had that are messing with me? I got no idea. And then all of a sudden it clicked. I'm like, brand new underwear. I've never been washed before. Maybe there's something on those. Went straight to the bathroom, peeled those things off. And next thing you know, the hives were gone, and get back to celebrating. it was just one of those weird, stupid things that had happened during that, that I didn't really realize at the time, because, you know, like I said, we were having a pretty good time that I didn't even think about it until we were in the airport and in the bathroom at the airport, just ripping off these underwear, tossing them in the garbage stand, and back at it.
Swedes, eh? That's hilarious. Good story, Alls. Hey, I mean, I could pick your brain for hours. I got one that I do want to ask you, though. And you did captain the 08 team. Caden Gooley, he's a local kid up here, Sherwood Park kid. He's going to captain the team this year. If you just had a little advice for him, what would you say? It's a young D man, similar to your position. He played last year, he's playing this year, and he's going to wear the C. Like, is there any advice you'd pass along? Is there something you wish you might have did or didn't do during the tournament?
Well, one of the things that I found just from watching before I played, watching a few years, and even what I noticed after I was done playing, is that the guys get so fired up for the tournament that, and I'm sure you've noticed it, that they go out there and they're just trying to hit everything that moves. You know, it's like, I want to hit someone so hard that I get the crowd going. I'm going to be on the highlight reel for years to come because I just blew this guy up. And next thing you know, guys are kind of going out of their way to hit guys or to make a play that it's going to be remembered, you know. And it's like, you know, doing something like maybe the guys in Anaheim are doing with flipping pucks over the net. You know, guys kind of go out of their way sometimes to do that. And so I remember when I was there thinking, but I want the guys to settle down. You know, I don't do something that you normally wouldn't normally do, you know. Still play between the whistles, hit guys hard, but don't blow people up, because the international hockey, the refs are really trigger happy. You know, they want to make a call. Anytime a guy gets hit too hard, they're going to make a call, and they may even give you a five. And so My advice is to try and, you know, settle the team down. You know, you want to obviously play with energy and up tempo, but making sure guys are still playing smart. You know, you don't have to run teams out of the rink. It's not that type of hockey. And so my advice is I guess getting through to the team right away and reminding them to play whatever the system is that they're going to play, and play it smart and play physical and play hard, but, you know, be smart about it, because, you know, the guys just end up getting a little bit too carried away trying to intimidate the other team. And I don't think that really works in this tournament.
That's awesome. Carl Alzer, my guest here. Great conversation so far. I got to ask, though, I mean, after the NHL career you had, I know you're doing the podcast now, All's Caps, and also you're involved with Lactigo. Walk me through those. Like, what are you up to nowadays? Obviously, you're keeping busy out in D.C.
Yeah, I got a lot of irons in the fire. So we started a podcast. Like, I'm a big consumer of podcasts myself. I go to bed listening to something pretty much every night. In the car, I listened to a ton. Where we were living, I was driving a lot, so I always had something going on. So I figured it was kind of a fun transition to maybe get into that myself. And we're having a good time with it. We're working out a few kinks of, you know, when to record, how long to record, what we should talk about, what we shouldn't talk about, which is tough, because you'd like to sometimes, you know, it's like the Chicklets guys. They're great at getting stories out of guys and making them relax and feel like they can, you know, say what they want to say. And we'd like that, but we don't really necessarily know our audience yet. So we're just kind of going with the flow, I guess, right now. And then I'd like to get into a little bit more of the media side. I've been doing some pre and post game analyst work for the Capitals here. So I did a little bit last year just over Zoom, and been waiting to get into studio this year. So it's a little bit better banter. You know, it's hard when you're on a 3-second delay to really join a conversation that's already going. So I've been, we were talking before we started recording. I got my visa just came through, so I'll be able to actually get in studio with with the crew there and start working. And then a little bit of youth hockey, the DC area. We call it the DMV. It's the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia are the three states in this area. And hockey has really steadily grown since Ovi got here, really. And then over the last 5 years, especially since the team won the Cup, it's just blown up here. So working on hopefully helping out with the youth program and then the alumni program here with the Capitals. We haven't had really many, I guess, younger alumni stick around. Like, there was a group of guys from the 80s and 90s that are in the area, and they've kind of spearheaded the whole program for a couple decades, I guess. And now that I'm back, Mike Green is back. Braden Holtby is supposed to be coming back. And I think I'm pretty sure a couple other guys that are on the team now are planning on sticking around. So I'm trying to work on adding a different dimension to it and seeing if we can raise a little bit more money and a little bit more awareness and do some good in the community and that. And then there's another gig that I got going on too with my old neighbor, actually in a cybersecurity company, which seems like a bit of a departure from hockey, because it is, but it has to do with some sales sales is obviously selling the product, but selling yourself and making relationships. And I feel like that's maybe one of my specialties is fostering relationships. I think I've kept in touch with pretty close to, I don't know, at least 3/4 of the teammates that I've had over the years. So it's something that I think I specialize in. So that'll be fun. And then, yeah, you mentioned Lactigo is a company that actually a few teammates that I played with over the years that we're all in it together. And it's a really cool product. Won't get into too many details on it, but it's essentially it reduces the amount of lactic acid that you create by a lot. And half the league, if not more, is using it now, as well as cyclists and runners and all that. So it's a real, and horses even, believe it or not, horses use it and have had some insane results. So it's fun. It's still, I would say, somewhat in its infancy. So there's a lot of studies that are going to be coming out soon. And I think they're going to be pretty shocking for a lot of people, but it's been fun for us to be a part of it, kind of getting into the business side of things. You know, it's definitely different and it takes a lot of patience and, you know, you have to be pretty open-minded on a lot of things and take some risk, but it's been fun. It's been really, really fun to get into that. So yeah, like I said, a lot of irons in the fire, keeping me very busy, a busy guy. One of my nicknames that I had in Montreal was Activities Carl, because every time we were on the road and we had any free time, I was always trying to find something for us to do to either enjoy the city or get together as a team and do something. So I can't sit still for long. So that's where I'm at right now.
Holy, mixing a damn nap. Crazy. Carl, that's awesome. That's awesome to see that you're, you know, doing some great things. I remember watching you just beat the brakes off the Swift Current Broncos back in the day. So after your career you've had, it's been awesome to see what you're doing now. And obviously, we appreciate you taking the time to share some of those World Junior stories. We didn't dive into any of your NHL career, so maybe we'll have to get you back in the new year. But again, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And World Junior Tournament is one of the best in sports. So I always take time to talk about that. And excited to watch the boys get at it. And hopefully we'll cheer loud from the U.S. I'm sure our neighbors will love it.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
All right, it's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. I guess we got to wrap things up. Wow, this conversation's went a little long. Huge thanks, though. Steve Mears, Carl Osner for hopping on. It's Road to the World Juniors presented by Lordco Auto Parts. And you know, with World Hockey Report, we're going to bring the heat every year. If you missed our conversation with Craig Button and Chris Peters, well, good for you, because you got the Hockey Podcast Network that's going to save your ass. Download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. THPN has you covered. Use that promo code on DraftKings as well. Cody Jansen coming to you live from the ProRock Broadcast Studios. Wow, I mean, do we have time to dive into the Olympics? We really don't. We got 2 minutes here. I guess quickly let me know. Join the conversation anytime at 12 Ounce Sports. NHLers not going to the Olympics. Who should they send? Should they send a World Junior team? Should the IIHF kind of figure out their world championship situation and say, hey, we want the best on best tournament, so let's adjust our world juniors and profit off that? I'm not sure exactly what the best plan is, but end of the day, I want to see the best on best when it comes to men's hockey. And I think that the IIHF could pull it off if they want it. If not, World Cup of Hockey, I guess we got to go with that. Quickly in the chat. 12 Ounce Sports, what do you think of my NHL playoff predictions if the season ended right now? Carolina over Pittsburgh, New York over Washington, Florida over Toronto, Tampa Bay. There's way too many there. I don't know. I just see it. I'm like, okay, Anaheim over Calgary, not going to happen. That's where we'll leave that. Oh, boy. If you missed any of the conversations with Carl Alsner, Steve Mears, download those at the Hockey Podcast Network. We will tweet out the link when those are up. Everyone, we got hockey tomorrow, pre-tournament, USA, Finland, Canada, Russia. It's going to be a blast. We appreciate you following along. Talk spaces are going to be coming at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. Yes, we will break it all down. Myself, Adam, and the rest of the team. Everyone, if I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy Holidays. Get ready. We got Spangler Cup. We got World Juniors. It's all happening. And as always, be kind, be better.